Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The text for our meditation this morning is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 3. And at the beginning of our gospel reading, John the Baptist comes on the scene proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Who is this man bringing this message, John the Baptist? The text describes him as one clothed in rough clothing, and he has strange food, locusts and wild honey, and he's just out there in the wilderness. And what does this tell us? This tells us that this man is not in the business of preaching the word of God in order to make himself rich or to be self-aggrandizing like the Pharisees and the Sadducees that Jesus condemns a few chapters later, calling them hypocrites who love to walk around in their long robes and love their greetings in the marketplaces. John the Baptist is not in the business for that reason. He's there to proclaim the word of God. And he's there to proclaim the word of God of repentance, even to stony hearts that don't want to hear it at all. But John the Baptist is not in the business of wanting to be popular or doing things just to please men. He's there because God sent him. He's there preaching the word that God gave him to say. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is there to tell us that God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, is now here, and he's going to prepare his way. This is what Isaiah 40, verse 3 says, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain." The message of John the Baptist, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," isn't one that you can just hear and then go on with your life like nothing ever happened. No, this is a message that changes you. Just like you could get this image of the mountains being made level and the valleys being brought up to prepare the way of the Lord. That's what happens in our lives and in our hearts when we hear that word of repentance as well. That those mountains of our own human pride that we like to build up need to be leveled. Those valleys of our human despair that make us think that there's no way God could ever have anything to do with me, they're brought up. A level path is made for our Lord to give us his righteousness, his forgiveness, his blessing. That's what John comes to proclaim when he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And that's the message that is still true for us today, this Advent, and that's the message that we have for you today. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we'll see how this is necessary in order to receive Jesus when he comes on earth. It's necessary to repent to receive that baby in the manger. But then it's also necessary to repent to prepare ourselves for when Christ comes again on the last day in judgment. These are the two parts of the sermon today that we're going to be talking about. Repenting to prepare ourselves for Christ's earthly life and ministry, his suffering, death, and resurrection, and then repenting for when Christ comes again at the end of time. So we all know about preparing for Christmas. We know about the shopping lists and the lists of all the stuff you have to do, all the decorations you got to put up. But how do you actually prepare yourself for Christmas? How do you actually prepare your heart for Christmas? And the answer comes in what John the Baptist says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repentance is when we acknowledge that we are sinful and what we're doing is wrong and that we need God's forgiveness. The word literally means that you're walking one direction and you do a whole 180 and turn the other direction. That's the image that we should have when we think about repenting of our sins, acknowledging that we were walking on the ways of darkness, walking on the way of death, knowing that we need God's forgiveness and to be turned around on the path to life. And that repentance is necessary in order to receive Christ on Christmas. Because if we don't understand that we are sinners in need of a Savior, the baby in the manger isn't really going to mean that much for you, is he? He grows up to live a perfect life and die for the forgiveness of your sins and rise again for your life. And when someone proclaims that to you, if you don't think that you're a sinner, you're just sitting there thinking, well, what did he do that for? You really didn't need to go to all that trouble because I'm fine all on my own. And that's a tragic mentality to have. But we understand how if we're going to receive Christ for the forgiveness of sins, we must first acknowledge that we need the forgiveness of sins. And that comes through repentance. Examining our own lives and seeing all the ways that we fall short of the glory of God, like St. Paul says in Romans 3:23, and that includes everyone, says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one pleases God. No one seeks after God. We must all recognize that for ourselves. But this is the amazing message of Christmas, that though we are in this lowly, sinful state, no one seeking after God, all sinning and falling short of the glory of God, Christ comes to you anyway. He comes down to you in this lowly estate. He comes down into the muck and the mire, and he comes to bring you out of it. That's how he comes as the baby in the manger. He comes to live a perfect life for you. He comes to die on the cross in your place and taking all of that sin and paying the punishment for it in his own body on the cross. And he comes to rise again in order that you can have life forever in him. This is truly our only hope. This is our only hope for eternal life because there's nothing we could ever do that could bring us back up to God unless he comes down to us, forgives our sins, and brings us up to heaven to himself. By the forgiveness of sins that Jesus wins for you, you are made righteous in God's sight. He takes your sin and you receive his righteousness. So that now when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, all he sees is that perfect righteousness that he has placed before you, on you, because your sins have been washed away. This is the only way we can stand before God, when he places his perfection and his righteousness and his forgiveness upon us. And this is necessary for us to receive the baby in the manger, to repent and then receive the forgiveness that he comes to bring. It's also necessary when we prepare for Christ to come again in judgment. This is something that we, week after week, proclaim in the creeds. This is something that we say, like in the hymn of the Te Deum in the service of Matins. We believe that he will come to be our judge. We know this day is coming. How will you meet him when he comes? That's the question. John talks about this. He says, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And then later, John says, describing Jesus, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So the good tree that bears good fruit is left alive, kept standing. The bad tree that bears bad fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the same thing can be said for the wheat and the chaff. The wheat is gathered and brought into the barn, the chaff is burned with unquenchable fire. So what makes a person the healthy tree that bears good fruit, or the wheat? What makes a person the dead tree that does not bear good fruit, or the chaff? What exactly is it? St. John first tells you how you don't become wheat or the healthy tree. He talks about how the Pharisees and the Sadducees kept trying to stand before the judgment seat of Christ with their own works and their own righteousness. They talked about how they just wanted to go before God and say, hey, we're children of Abraham, so we kind of get an automatic pass into the kingdom of heaven, don't we? Or they want to do all of these works that on the surface seem to be good, but what's the real reason? So that everybody will look at them and say, wow, what a great guy that is. Look how spiritual this guy is. John the Baptist sees right through the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That salvation is not going to come when Christ comes again to judge by us trying to appeal to who our dad is or to all these things that we've done. Jesus, look at me and how great I am. Can't you believe it? That's not how our salvation is going to come. It only comes through repentance and the forgiveness of sins. So that's why John tells the Pharisees and the Sadducees, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. They cannot bear fruit because they have no repentance. They cannot actually do anything that God thinks is good because they do not repent and receive the forgiveness of sins. Because all true good fruit of the Christian comes through faith only. It comes from repentance that Christ works in us when he proclaims his law to us and makes us realize that we're sorry for our sins. And then when he gives us the gospel, the forgiveness of sins. And then the fruit that Christ works in you flows out of this. He gives you the forgiveness of sins, good works in you. He works good fruit through you, Christ working in you. But it's always bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. Repentance in faith leads then to the fruit. So the problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees is they had no repentance and no faith and therefore no fruit. And if that's our state, anything that we try to think we can do that's so great that we would cast before God and say, God, look how great I am. God says in Isaiah 64 that it's nothing but filthy rags. And we need to understand that. How then do I become the good tree? How then do I become the wheat? Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 7. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, while the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And then Jesus says again in Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. That's how you would bear good fruit, is by being made a good tree. And how are you made a good tree? This is done to you by God when he works his repentance in you and then when he gives you the forgiveness of sins. You can't make yourself a good tree. That doesn't even make any sense. And we can't have the mentality that the unhealthy tree could somehow start making healthy fruit and then that somehow makes the tree healthy. That's not how it works. We all know that the healthy tree produces the healthy fruit. So you have to be made the healthy tree first. And this comes through repentance worked in you when Christ proclaims his law to you. This comes through faith when Christ gives you his Holy Spirit that works faith in your heart. This comes from the gospel when Jesus works the forgiveness of sins in you and gives the forgiveness of sins to you. That is how the tree, you, are made healthy. And then this is the image given in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but he is like a tree planted by the streams of water that bears its fruit in its season. This all isn't up to you. You're not all on your own here, but you are made the healthy tree by Christ, and then he continues to work in you that you will bear good fruit in the Christian life. And you're still not reliant on yourself because you would shrivel up and die like a tree that's left all by itself with no water. You're planted by the streams of living water, his word, his life, his spirit that he gives you. That's the only way that we could ever hope to live. So this Advent, how do you prepare for Christ coming in the manger? And then, even outside of Advent, each and every day of your life until Christ comes again or you are on your own deathbed, what do you need to do? It's just the same thing that John the Baptist said at the beginning. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance cannot be seen as just a one-time thing. I repented 40 years ago, so I'm pretty good now. No, it's a daily thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Think of the ways that I have broken God's law and say that I'm sorry for these things and I need to receive the forgiveness of sins each and every day. This prepares us for Christ on Christmas. This prepares us for Christ to give us that forgiveness each and every day. This prepares us for Christ to come again. We walk in the ways of Christ, and we live by his word. Because when we repent now, his day of judgment and his day of wrath is not a day of condemnation for you, but it's a day of rejoicing, redemption, and blessing. This is what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When you believe in Christ and receive the forgiveness of sins, he will declare to you, well done, good and faithful servant, because he sees you as righteous because he has taken his righteousness and placed it upon you. This is what the promise of the gospel is. So this season of Advent, prepare for the baby in the manger on Christmas through repentance. Because that's what he comes to forgive. That's who he comes to forgive. The repentant sinner who acknowledges that he needs a Savior. And that baby in the manger is that Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.